Church, how many of you are just excited to be here and just to hear God's word? I love what Pastor said last week, that it's an honor to be in God's house, that we get here, we come here to worship the Lord. How many of you come to worship the Lord? Yes, that's why we're here. We're coming here to worship the Lord and to what? To receive from God's blessing. I'm so honored to be here today and share God's message with you on the behalf of our pastors. I love our pastors very much. How many of you love our pastors? Those online, please clap it up. Say, pastors, we love you. I appreciate all of their love and their sacrifices. And I thank God for last week's story with Pastor Caitlin all the way from Massachusetts. And she shared a powerful story of how God used our pastors to bless her ministry. And now she's a lead pastor of the Brettshire Dream Center in Massachusetts. Isn't that a powerful thing? And I want to let you know that God is still influencing our lives. He's influenced, using our pastors to influence my life. And I know that I remember a 15, 16-year-old troublesome youth, and they gave me a shot to partner with them at a Tri-State Christian Camp in Port Jervis, New York, and that passion has not died. They have not slowed down. They're actually getting better, and they are pumped up. They're excited about Love Our City. We wanted to say thank you for your donations. Give it up. Those online, thank you. There's still opportunities for you to donate and be a part of this wonderful Serve Week that's coming up this week. Please sign up, tc.live/loveourcity, so that you can be a part of this great work. There's different projects going on this week. We're so excited about showing love to our police. Let's give it up for our police. And I know our police have been here volunteering, being here, being a part, making sure our campus is safe. Some of you were worried. Don't worry. They're just here to make sure our campus is safe. We also have a project for nurses and doctors, showing appreciation. Yes. Essential workers on the front line, making sure that we're healthy. We also have projects for feeding the homeless, also book bag giveaways, and providing meals for families who are going through really difficult times. So listen, there's still a chance for you to be a part. Please sign up today. And again, thank you for your generosity. Let's get to it. So we are going to continue the sermon series, Love Our City. And today we're going to ask this question or answer this question, who is our neighbor? And I know for many of you and those who are online, you would say to yourself, oh, my neighbor is a person who shares the same zip code as me. Oh, my family, my friends, those are my neighbors. Those are the people that are my ride or die. How many of you have ride or dies? If you're online today, you have my ride or die. You know, no matter what, for those who saw Fast and Furious, you understand what it means to ride or die to the end, right? Right. So many times we believe that those are our neighbors, and that's true. But today we wanted to go a little deeper as we look at that question, who is our neighbor? Who are the people that we want to aspire to love? Is it only your neighbors? Is it only the people that you see around you? Or you want to go a little deeper? You know, because inside of all of us, God is calling us to go deeper in our love, to go beyond just our family and friends and the people that we like. He wants us to look at people the way he sees them. And I want to be honest with you, there was a time in my life where I really struggled with answering that question, who is my neighbor? I had a hard time. I was like, God, you know, I look at the news, I see what's going on, and let me tell you, I see people who are my brothers, and because we have different skin color, they are showing hatred. I said, Lord, should I love them, or how can I love them? And that question was ringing in my heart for some time, and one day, God wanted to teach me a lesson. He said, okay, I'm going to show you. I want to show you what this means, who is my neighbor. And one day I'm driving in my Honda Odyssey 2001. Yes, her name was Roxy. She's in car heaven now. The car doctor said, I'm sorry, there's nothing left. And I said, you sure you can't give her a new heart, a new engine? A heart, new engine? And he said, no, we can't give her a new heart or what you can, you know, or what you're calling a new engine. New engine, new heart. No, we can't do any of that. It's time. Just give her up. And my wife was like, oh. So it was a sad day. But when she was in her youth, she was driving me one day, and I was driving, and I heard this loud pop. Bop! Like, what happened? And all of a sudden, I felt this, and I knew my tire went out. I had to pull to the side of the road, and I said, oh, my gosh, I know. Anybody else? The side of the road, there was a big nail in my tire, and I knew I was at fault. I said, oh, I knew better than this, because why? That nail was in there for a whole week. It was there the whole week, and I said, I'm only going 30, 20 miles an hour. The nail's okay. My wife was like, you need to change it. I said, listen, we can save some money here. Just hold on to the next paycheck. Anybody been in that situation? Just hold on, tire. And I was going 50, 60, and the tire couldn't hold up. And sure enough, I'm on the side of the road with a flat tire. And I had to call my good friend Paul to help me because I needed a jack. Well, actually, another jack. You may say, what, another jack? All you need is one jack to jack a car. No, I needed another jack because I started jacking up my car. And because it was like on an angle, I know I'm not a mechanic. So it started to, the jack started to give way. And I was like, oh my gosh, the car is going to collapse. And I said, oh God, help me, Lord. And I said, Lord, please, I'm so sorry. Have you ever been there? Oh God, please, just get me through this situation. God, please, oh Lord, no. I promise never to do this again. I promise to listen on the first try. And long story short, God wanted to teach me a valuable lesson, and it was raining, I told you. The car was jacked up, but it was starting to tilt. The jack was giving way. And all of a sudden, a white brother, and I'm going to say a white brother, pulled up right behind me. He didn't even get into anything. He just looked at my situation, looked at me, and there was a mechanic's disgust. He was like, come on, God. But he hurry up, ran to his truck, jacked up my van, helped me out, put on a spare tire, and I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And I said, you know what, the least you can do, you know, when you get help on the side of the road, the least you can do is offer somebody a 10 or a 20 or whatever you have in your wallet. I said, you know, thank you so much, and I was handing him the $20. He said, nope, have a nice day, and drove right off. And as I was driving to my destination, God asked me that question, who is your neighbor, Glenn? And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, Lord, you're so right. I said, Lord, forgive me for having resentment just because of somebody's color. Have you been there? And I'm probably the only one in here. Okay. All right. I get it. I'm the only one who sees the news. I'm the only one who sees things going on. I get it. I'll be the one to admit. Those who are online, I admit it. I confess. And I had to repent that day of the resentment that I had. Just because of someone's color, I'm going to say, oh, I don't like them, or that person doesn't deserve my mercy, or that person's not my neighbor. And God showed me that there is no need to have resentment in my heart. The hatred is not of God, or resentment is not of God. Being biased towards somebody is not of God. And in a world that we live in today where there's so much of that, so much on the news, I thank God that we come to a church where people from different nationalities, different backgrounds can come together and love Christ. That we can experience the love of Christ together. Thank God for that. Yes. Those who are online, thank God. So who is my neighbor? Our neighbors are those who are in need of God's mercy. You see, just like I was in need of mercy, and my white brother came behind me and he said, hey, I see a need. I'm going to help you. You need mercy. He didn't look at my skin color and go, sorry. Oh, are you a Democrat? Can I help? Oh, I only help Republicans. No, he didn't do that. He said, you know what? I see a need. You can give it up. Yes. I see a need, and I'm going to help you. So who is my neighbor? And we define our neighbors are those who are people who are in need of God's mercy. Because we all need God's mercy. We all need God's help. As we get ready for the Love Our City campaign, as we're getting ready for service, I want to let you know something, that this is a service church. One of our missions, one of our core values is that we are a church who serves others. And it doesn't say, doesn't matter your political background, doesn't matter your ethnic background, we serve others because that's what God wants us to do. I want to let you know that we are not the only ones who had this struggle with loving our neighbor and showing mercy. Because even in Bible times, and I missed that there, but I wanted to, you know, I bring this point up too. Racism is a broken system that hinders us from seeing people as God's children. You can share that on your post. I was starting to run. I feel like I'm a little behind time, but that's okay. Racism is a broken system that hinders us from seeing people as God's children. You know, God sees all of us as his children. God, he's in heaven right now, and he doesn't have a favorite race. He doesn't have a favorite political group. I know some people right now are upset. Somebody's turning the channel. Don't stay with me. Stay with me, because this is important. God doesn't concern himself about your political views. He says, don't allow hatred to get into your heart. Don't allow racism. Don't allow bias or all these other things to get in the way of your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you see, God had to show me this wonderful revelation that, you know what? Racism is of the devil. And don't give in to the hatred and lies of the devil. Do not believe any, you know, the news, the media, it feeds off of all of this hatred and all these lies. But God says today, do not give in to the lies and the deception of the enemy to bring separation, because he knows, the enemy of our souls knows that when we come together, there's no stopping us. That we can make a change. We can make a difference in our society. Yes, give it up. We can make a change. We can make a difference in our society. Those online, we can make a change. We can make a difference. But you know what? It starts with every single one of us saying, who is my neighbor? Look at your neighbor right now and say, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Those who are online, who is my neighbor? We are not going to allow things of this world to cause us to start having hatred in our hearts. And as I said before, we're not the only ones. In Bible times, there were people who struggled with who I should love, who I shouldn't love. And in Luke 10, there's a story of a lawyer, a man who was an expert in the law. He goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what are the commandments, or how do you read them? And Jesus responds to him and says, well, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as your what? The way you want to be treated, treat others. When you come to church on a Sunday, don't you want to be welcome? Don't you want to be loved? Hey, how you doing? We missed you. We haven't seen you. Or would you prefer to come into a church where I don't know you? Nobody wants that. And I love that about our pastors. We are here to serve others as one of our values. Our pastors are always encouraging us to be friendly, to greet people, love people, make people feel welcome. They're not only our guests, they're our what? Our gifts. That just touches my heart every time I hear that, every time I hear them say that. Love your neighbor as yourself. You answer correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And what the lawyer was trying to do was trying to get out of loving his neighbor. You see, he already knew the truth. And we all know the truth here at TC. When God tells us to love our neighbor, we all know that we should love not only the people beside us, but the people we see on the streets. And everywhere we go, we should love. But many times we will ask ourselves that question, who is my neighbor? So that way we can try to get out of loving our neighbor as ourselves. And you know, it's a sad reality that even in church, we have lost sight of who our neighbors are. Doesn't take much. Go on social media, right? And you'll see that there is division because of simple, silly things. Who is my neighbor? Those who are in need of mercy. As I shared my story earlier, I tell you this, that it's not easy, but when you start to open your heart to God and God starts to show you, you know what, everybody is your neighbor. And did you know what? Resentment doesn't reside here. You know, there's a sign on somebody's house on the way here at TC. It says, hatred doesn't have a place here or doesn't have a home here. And every time I hear that or read that message, I say, it just solidifies my heart and says, yes, I will be a person of love. I will love my neighbor as myself. You see, when we are walking in God's love, we will look for ways to love those God puts before us. Amen. You know, Pastor preached it a few weeks ago, Mr. Rogers, who are the people in your neighborhood? And we found that perfect example of Mr. Rogers, of how he just loved people. It doesn't matter what background they were from. And want to encourage us today. Who are the people that are before you? Who are the people that you see? Who are those people? Because the verses of scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, is telling you to open your eyes, open your heart, and to see what God is doing. Right? See those who are in trouble. See the need. See what's going on. See. Because just like the lawyer, sometimes we can get caught up with asking that question, who is my neighbor? Trying to justify, trying to get around something that's right before our eyes. Who are the people that God is putting before you? Let's continue the story. A Jewish Jesus tells him the story. Now he goes and tells him, okay, well, now you want to know who's your neighbor. Okay, I'll give you a story. And he starts out the story with a man who is a priest, a temple assistant, and a Samaritan, right? That sounds like a joke, doesn't it? Right? There was a Pharisee, there was a temple assistant, and there was a Samaritan. And they, right? Sounds like a joke, but this is no joke. It says, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him up, and left him for half dead beside the road. Think about that for a moment. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, what did he do? He crossed to the other side of the road and passed by. And I know some of us in here today are saying, what? How could he do that? Well, because he was a priest, he was concerned about being unclean. Being at the temple for over a week now, he was serving the Lord. He was in the presence of God. He was holy. He was pure. And as he walked the streets, he saw this man. He was like, I can't get dirty. How many of you ever been there? Oh, that's too much drama for me. Girl, I'm sorry. You and Tyrone, that's too much. Not even a prayer. You can't even say, you know, I'm going to pray for you. Nope. Sorry, that drama with you and Tyrone? And she's crying out. And I don't know no Tyrones. I don't know any situations. Somebody's going to ask me later. Who is that Tyrone? I don't know anybody. It's my head. Leave me alone. My stories are my stories, right? I don't know any Tyrones. I don't know any situation. But I'm just saying, just think about that. That there are people who are hurting. There are people who are in need. And there are times where we can be so caught up in our comforts. We can get so caught up in our situations. We can get caught up in our purity as a church. We say, I'm set apart. I'm doing the Lord's work. I don't have time for that drama. I don't have time for those issues. And sometimes all God is saying for you to do is just say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you, Lisa. I'm going to pray for you. I can't do all that. I'm not a counselor. I'm not all that, but I can pray for you. I'm not going to just walk by you, but I'll pray for you. I'll stop and I'll say, you know, I'm going to pray. I'm going to see what's going on. He crossed over because why? He thought he was too high. And God help us as a church. God help us as Christians when we are too high to get low. God help us that we get so high that we forget about the God who saved us and raised us and resurrected us. You know, it doesn't take much. You know, all of a sudden now you're on a worship team. All of a sudden now you're up here preaching before people. I'm sorry, I don't have time for that. And God says, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? He walked by. And the lesson to be learned is to love my neighbor means that I give up my comforts for those who are in need. I give up my comforts. You see, the man was walking by. He was walking by, and you know what? He should have stopped and found out what was going on. What's this problem? What's this thing? How could this man be laying here on the road? And the Bible says that there was another man too. The temple assistant was there too. And he looked at him and he did worse. He passed on the other side of him and left that man there bleeding and half dead. Bleeding and half dead and wondering, who's going to help me? Who's going to reach out and help me? Who's going to be there for me? I'm sure this man was. Have you ever been bleeding? Have you ever been half dead? And you're hoping that somebody would help you. I thank God for our pastors. I thank God for the stories that they constantly share with me, and I think they do it to inspire me and to continue to encourage me. I thank God that we have pastors who have given up so much to be here with us. I thank God, you know, sometimes we can take it for granted, but they've given up. They are people of compassion. They are people who have stopped by the road on numerous occasions to bless people and to make sure that people are what? Cared for. It says here, to love my neighbor means that I give up my comforts for those who are in need. But here's the part where it gets a little interesting. The Bible says here, then a despised Samaritan came along. Despised. And I know many of us know the story as the good Samaritan. What? How in the scriptures talking about him being despised? The despised Samaritan? Why was he despised? What did he do? Well, he was born a Samaritan. And because he was a Samaritan, it just means that he had a mixed background and his culture was mixed. And the Jews said, mm-mm, don't want none of that drama. We don't want anything to do with you. How many of us are mixed? I know I have some American in me. I know I have some Jamaican in me. I know I have some Cuban in me, so I'm mixed. Yes, yeah, amen. All right, the Cubans, all right. And I do claim myself to be Puerto Rican too, so. I do. All right, I got some people. And then I claim to be Italian too. I love Italian food. I love Italian people. I love Italian culture. I can't wait to get, so I'm every, and I say, you know what, I'm Haitian too. People say, well, you, how are you Haitian? How'd that happen? I said, all my people, they welcome me. My Haitian people welcome me. They love me. So I said, everywhere, you know, I'm everybody, you know, and I thank God. But this Samaritan, because he was a Samaritan, he was despised. He was looked down on because he had a mixture. And God loves to mix things. You know, the beautiful things that God, the most beautiful things are on this earth are mixed together, right? Beautiful colors come alive. Because they're mixed. And I'm not an artist. I'm not going into all of the mixtures when the mixtures come together. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Beautiful colors come together, they create new colors. And this despised Samaritan, when he saw the man, he had compassion. He didn't go, he's Jewish. Mm-mm. I'm Samaritan. We don't have no dealings. On a good day, this same Jewish person would have walked by him like he didn't know him. He would have walked by him and had his nose in the air and go, mm-mm, Samaritan, don't talk to me. But the Samaritan, the despised Samaritan, had enough of God in him to say, this man's in need. Who wouldn't stop by and help this man? Let's continue. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. One scholar says that bandage, he didn't walk around. He wasn't a doctor or anything. He ripped his clothing. He probably took off his shirt, his Armani shirt. How many of you have Armani? Louis Vuitton. I'm sorry, Pastor, but if it was Gucci, I couldn't do it. This man probably had on some fine wear because he's balling. But he took off his fine clothes to bandage this man's wound who despised him. And then he put the man on his donkey. He allowed the man to sit on his donkey. Now, in our modern day, can you imagine a donkey was a thing of luxury to have a donkey. People walked around. So imagine during his day, he was walking around with a donkey. He had, it was like a Mercedes or something. Can you imagine you let a bleeding man in your car? I don't even want my kids eating in my car. I tell my kids, I say, wait till I get my car. I said, ooh, when I get my fancy car, there'll be no eating in here. And they go, okay, Dad, okay. And sure enough, God blessed us with a nice fancy car, and guess what? People are eating in it. But nevertheless, he allowed this man to get on his donkey, his prized possession. He took the man to an inn. This is where it gets deep. You see, he could have taken him and said, okay, sir, sir, wake up. Where can I drop you? I know some of y'all are saying that sounds about right. That's a sermon that I want to hear. Where can I drop you? Where can I leave you? No. This man took him to an inn where he took care of him. Doesn't that bless your heart? Who is my neighbor? Doesn't that stir you today? Who is my neighbor? The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him he came out of his pocket. He could have said, you know what? I don't know who this man is, but he saw him on the side of the road. This is all I could do. No. He took him in, paid out of his own pocket. He said, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Then Jesus asked, now which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? The man replied, the one who showed what? The one who showed mercy. You see, the despised Samaritan became the good Samaritan because why? He was acting in the love of God. And anytime you act out in the love of God, and you know, sometimes we say he acted out, immediately we think, oh my gosh, this person went off at work. There was too many times they kept bothering Brenda. She acted out at work. But here the Samaritan acted out in love because he saw the man lying down there bleeding and he acted out in love. He responded and his name was changed from the despised Samaritan to the good Samaritan because of his actions. And Jesus was showing us a valuable lesson that our neighbors are those who are in need of mercy and we become good when we act like God. You know, of all the stories our pastor shares with us or shares with me, one of my favorites is the one when him and Pastor Ruth were saving up for vacation. And they had their money saved, and it was around time for vacation, and I'm sure they were planning out what trip they were going to go on and the things they were going to buy, and they get a knock on the door. Pastor, I have a financial need. And what do you think our pastors did? No, our pastors did not say, well, I would help you, but we have vacation. Joey and Josiah, you know, they need their rest. No, I love this story. They came out of pocket. He went into their savings and said, God bless you. God bless you. They were good Samaritans that day, and they are continuing to be good Samaritans as they continue to give to the ministry and to those who are in need. You know, our pastors, they have a heart to serve people who are bleeding on the road, pastors who are bleeding, people who are hurting emotionally. And our pastors are acting out as good Samaritans, helping people who are in need. Let's thank God for our pastors. Let's thank God for them. So now, how do you know you have the love of God, or how is your love meter today? You see, because Scripture lets us know. Scripture will tell us. You know, sometimes we would say, well, I love based on what that person, he gave only $5. I gave $25. I love God more. But that person gave all they had. And many times we're giving out of our abundance. But how is your heart meter today? Are you loving those who are in need? Are you playing deaf? Are you despising those people? I'm sorry, I don't have time. I'm so comfortable. You know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Ruth talked about the harvest and how much she loves the harvest. And one of the other things she mentioned was how much she loves her shoes. How many of you love shoes? Yes, me too. I love shoes too. I'm a collector. I love football. How many of us love football? And I know our pastor, Joe, he loves baseball. He loves his Yankees. I love my Mets. Go Mets. Go Mets. Right? And I love what Pastor Ruth shared. She said, you know what? There's nothing wrong with having these comforts. There's nothing wrong with these things. But there's a harvest that we can't be blinded to. And it says here in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. The one who does not love remains in death. Think about that for a moment. If you do not love, you remain in death. You see, that's the reason why we can't afford to have allow racism and hatred or anything else to reside in our hearts. Because why? Then that means you're allowing death to remain. Our brothers are those who are what? People who are created in the image of God and who are in need of God's mercy. Right? So our brothers are whoever is in need of God's mercy. Right? It says he, another verse of scripture says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. Who is my neighbor? How am I showing love? By what? Displaying it. When I see a need, I meet it. I love what Pastor Ruth shared the other day. She said, you know, I mean, a few weeks ago, she said, you know, there's a harvest. We have to respond to the harvest. We have to raise up transformers. You need to volunteer. You need to be a part of the mission that God is doing here. It's not just a social program we're running here. No, we are leading people who are far from God into a transforming relationship. That's our mission. There are people by the wayside who are hurting, who come to our church Sunday after Sunday and need to hear this message of love and hope. And can you imagine your smile is a thing that causes them to stay? Your smile, that bacon, egg, and cheese with butter was a thing that said, I got to go back to that church. That coffee with cream and two sugars? All right, somebody got excited. You talked about coffee and cream. All right. Right? So we cannot neglect this love that God has given to us. Why? Because God first loved us when he gave his one and only son. At this time, we're going to call up the musicians at this time. Let's think about that. Who is our neighbor? Neighbors are those who are in need. And you may say to yourself, well, all right, Pastor, thank you for that word, but what's my next step? Well, we don't want to be people who neglect people who are in need. It says here, you don't love your neighbor to earn God's love. You love your neighbor as an expression of what God has done for you. You know, this is like, be honest with you, sometimes I feel like, Lord, this is a broken record. I said, Lord, I've heard this before. He says, yes, say it again. Because sometimes we can be so forgetful. We can hear the news. We can get caught up with our own personal drama and forget that there are people by the wayside who are hurting. You don't love your neighbor to earn God's love. You don't do this to try to earn merits with God. No, salvation is free. How do you pay it back? You can't pay it back. But what we can do is say, Lord, thank you. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to serve my neighbor. So you may be saying to yourself, well, what is my next step? We take action to love our neighbor. Whether it be here volunteering Sundays, being a part of your community, we take action to love our neighbor. On your way in, you received an index card with a little cross on it and a pen. I want you to take a moment now and think, who is my neighbor? And I want you to write down those people who may be in need right now. Those people that come to mind at work, at home, on social media, your friends. Who is that person? You see, we're going to have a Love Our City celebration service next week. And we would like for you to invite those people. Invite those friends, invite those family members, those people that come to your mind right now. Write their name down, because while we have our prayer team, that's going to pray for them this week. And on your way out, we have some cards, some invitation cards that we would like for you to give to them and say, hey, we're having a Love Our City event. We would love for you to be a part. How many of you think you could do that? If you're online, you think you could do that, raise your hand. Come on, I know that there are people who love you, who have been touched by your life, who are inspired. Or maybe you may say, I have to think a little hard. I don't know. Think about who that person could be. It could be your neighbor that you haven't spoken to in a little bit. And say, you know what? My church is having a Love Our City celebration. And it's just to celebrate God's goodness and to understand his mercy, the love for you to be a part. I'd like for you to write their name down. You're going to drop it in a mailbox, in the box right by the exit on your way out. Next thing is volunteer for Love Our City Project. Maybe you have a heart for feeding the homeless. Maybe you have a heart for the police. Maybe you have a heart for the nurses and doctors. Maybe you have a heart for families who are in need. tc.live/loveourcity. Get involved. And it just doesn't stop here. It's not just a one-week event. We're encouraging you to continue on and continue to serve. Become a transformer here at TC. As Pastor Ruth mentioned a few weeks ago, so where are the transformers? The harvest is ripe. Where are the transformers? We need transformers. Invite someone to Love Our City. That's August 29th, 9:30 and 11 a.m. Now that you've written down those names, why don't we all stand at this time? I'm going to whisper a prayer right now. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for those names that were written down. You see their needs. You see the situations that they're going through, oh God, and we're praying. Lord Father, as we invite them to a Love Our City celebration next week, that Lord, their hearts will be stirred to come out and be blessed, to hear a message that will transform their lives. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's give it up for the Lord. Thank you. If you receive, hold on a minute, just quick announcement. If you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, there's a Bible for you. On your way out, for those who are online, please follow the link below. If you have a prayer need, we have our prayer team that's here for you that will pray with you at this time. If you have a gift that you would like to give, you have an envelope, please drop it in a box on the by the exit. Also, please make sure you take some cards. The Transformers have cards for you. God bless you and have a wonderful week. Take care.